Hi, and welcome to the Cloud Design Box podcast. Here with me today is Mark Fuller, who's the IT Director for Bridge Academy Trust. Hi, Mark.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you doing today?
Yeah, good. Yeah, it's all good today.
So one of the things we wanted to talk about really today, more than anything, is just the big task of setting up Microsoft 365 for a trust. Do you want to tell us a bit about Bridge Academy Trust or BAT as it's known?
Yeah, let me give you a bit of a history. So we merged with Bridge Academy Trust April this year, and we were a group of four schools. I call them North Essex schools. So we merged into Bridge Academy. So now we've become 12 schools in total. So the North Essex schools previously had an office tenant with all four schools on one tenant. Obviously, the teaching and learning side of it was done by yourselves at Cloudbox. So one of the first jobs I get when I get over there is looking at Office 365 sort of suggestions and sort of how we can move stuff forward, because Bridge had an office tenant for every single one of their schools, plus the central team had their own office tenant. So there was nine tenants in total, making, as well as adding the North Essex ones on, that is 10 tenants. It's not really sustainable, yeah, that from an admin point of view. So,
and also, I guess, from a communications point of view or collaboration, it must be quite difficult to get collaboration going between teachers and senior leaders in 12 or 13 different tenants.
So they were doing some bits on their trust homepage, which is fine, but there is a generic login for everyone to use to get the HR forms, the admin forms and bits and pieces like that. The central team at that point and still are working purely off SharePoint. So they already had SharePoint in place, but they were having to create accounts on their tenant for the head teachers at the other schools to log in and fill in risk assessment forms. And the head teachers are forgetting their passwords because obviously they've got their own domain and own passwords. It was a bit of a nightmare, and it needed to be made easy for everyone. So we took the decision that we were going to merge all the schools onto Bridge's tenant. And because Bridge is mostly primary schools, the primary schools element side of it was not too bad, because they weren't using Office 365 on their tenant properly yet. So they were using it for email, basically, few OneDrive files. So their migration was quite simple. Notley and Ramsey from the North Essex schools, quite complex, because they were fully involved with SharePoint, fully involved with yourselves. We had class teams, we had everything on 365 and SharePoint, and so we needed to do a lot of planning behind that. We took the decision to merge tenants. We were going to merge everyone onto Bridge's tenant, because the URL for Bridge is bridgeacademytrust.sharepoint.com, which is what we want. So we then contacted yourselves from a teaching and learning point of view. We want teaching and learning SharePoint set up for all the schools. We then sort of contacted third parties, so Aspira Cloud, who helped with data migration, and we expanded our Salamander installs. So we put Salamander in every school, we've put Aspira Cloud handled the data migration, and then we put yourselves in every school. So everything had a consistent environment. So going forward, everyone would be using the same system, everyone would be using the same user integration tools, and Aspira would just take in data from the different tenants and moving them from left to right. So even before we started doing all that work, I had to plan out all the Office 365 Exchange address lists, because when you have 12 schools, you don't want necessarily all the students to be able to see each other's email addresses across the different schools. Staff in secondary schools don't really need to know what another school sets of email addresses are, so we used address book policies and address list separation, so every school's got their own address list that just contain their address lists. And I'll come on to more about that in a second on how we did that with Salamander. We then created a Bat Central address list, so any sort of Trust Central groups, the central team appear on everyone's address book policy. So a member of staff at a primary school can look in the address book and find out who the finance director is or finance assistant they need to email. It's all done through the address book setups. And we use Salamander at every school to basically scope out every AD account. So we put in custom attributes for every school, so NHS staff, and then we create the address book policies based on looking at that attribute. So it then pulls it all together. So when you look at Notley High School's address list, you'll see Notley staff, Notley students, Notley groups, Notley class groups, and that's the theme for everything. So everything's consistent and everything's using attributes that Salamander are pre-filling in for us. Yeah. And then we use Salamander to apply the address book policies to the staff and students accounts on Office 365. And yeah, it's all automated. So it'll sort of run off the MIS data. Yeah, so it's all automated, it's all easy. And yeah, so that's how we did the address book separation. And then following on from that, we've got you guys involved. We got Aspire Cloud to do the mailbox migrations, because obviously we need to keep staff mailboxes active. That is a very easy, painless process. For those that haven't done that before, haven't seen that before, the tool that Aspire Cloud use basically keeps sync with their old tenant. And then on the day of the cut over, they literally click a button and it goes over, makes it live on that day. They do some PowerShell scripting to sort the domains over. Done. That's it. All done.
Yeah. So it's all about timing, I guess.
It is timing. I mean, there is slight disruption for the mailbox migration, but the schools are pre-warned. You know, the morning there's going to be a bit of disruption, and then we're going to go around and speak to all the staff in the school, make sure you can still use Outlook, reconfigure the Outlook profiles. And there's an issue with one school we had, but that was a Microsoft issue, the main migration. But other than that, everything went very, very smoothly. We've got one school left to do, 1st of December. Then we're done, all 12 on one tenant. And then if any other schools join the trust in the future, our tenant's already set up, we can onboard those other schools really easily because everything's in place, and we can just expand out our offering for the SharePoint side of things, so we can get in contact with yourselves. And we know how simple the process now for all your different workflows, and how easy you've made that for yourselves to spin up a new site for someone. And yeah, expand it out with using tools like Salamander to keep everything integrated and easy. It's just making people's life easy, because, you know, we've got IT guys at the secondary schools at the moment, but not so much at the primaries. So I've been picking up the primary inquiries to do with Office 365 and bits and pieces like that. So having tools like Salamander and yourselves in there automating the Sims part and the user creation is just a massive time saver, because it's just done.
That's the key, isn't it? It's driving everything from the MIS.
Yeah.
So that things just happen overnight. You don't need to interfere manually with anything.
No. We also made it easier for our staff as well. At the moment, we are obviously 12 schools with 12 separate Active Directory accounts. Active Directory domain, sorry. So there's 12 networks at the moment, and how do we get those users from their 12 Active Directory domains synced up to Office 365, or do we use cloud-only accounts? So we made the decision with Aspire Cloud, AD Connect. So everything runs through a central AD Connect server, so it provides single sign-on for Office 365 based off their Active Directory accounts. So
yeah,
a teacher in a primary school logs in and it logs them into Office 365 without having to remember another account. Whereas before all this work happened, they were logging into their computers, then getting another login for their email account. And if they forgot the email account, they'd have to contact someone else to get the password changed. But now everything's synced. So it's a single sign-on environment.
Beautiful. I think that's one of the things I've noticed over time is that sometimes folks think that you need to get all your domains into one big domain or, you know, at least one forest.
Yeah.
And otherwise you can't do the Office 365 thing or Microsoft 365 thing. But in fact you can, because of, you know, especially if you've got people like Aspira Cloud in the mix who can set up those really clever connections using AD Connect. You can have multiple domains all over the place, all over the country, but they'll all come together and sync into the same tenant.
So there had been a change to AD Connect recently, and we were quite lucky that it fell into our lap when it did. So because our schools at the time weren't connected by a WAN, so each schools were separate, we had to make the decision whether to have one school on AD Connect at the time we were planning this, and then the other schools as cloud-only accounts. It just so happens that Microsoft released their Azure AD Cloud Sync, which is a lightweight version of the AD Connect server, but does the same job. So we can install that agent on the 11 different networks, have one AD Connect server, so then we were able to do the single sign-on. When our WAN got put in place, we were now able to take those lightweight AD Connect agents out and use the full-blown AD Connect for true single sign-on, and it helps having the AD Connect connecting to all the domains helps single sign-on with Office 365. It lets you do with the Office apps. It lets you do hybrid join. So if you hybrid join your device on a Windows domain, the Office apps just seamlessly sign in. OneDrive seamlessly signs in. Teams seamlessly signs in once you log in. But you need that connectivity in place to do that. And because we were 12 different sites, without the WAN at the time we were doing this, we had to use the AD Cloud Sync, which doesn't support hybrid join. It doesn't support password write back. But now we're on the WAN with AD Connect, we can do password write back. We can do all the nice stuff within 365. So we can utilize everything we need to utilize now.
That's great. The best possible mix.
Yeah.
I guess as trusts are looking to do this kind of thing to come together, different people will be in different places. So some, they'll have the domains in lots of different places. That's fine. Some may have a WAN connecting them together or some kind of VPN to transcend that, you know, and create kind of a virtual WAN. But others won't. They'll literally be school over here, school over there, different domains, no connections between them. Yeah. But it's still possible then, from what you're saying.
Yeah.
Not quite as good.
Yeah, it's not that, I mean, I don't know if this is true or not, but I don't know if they're trying to phase out the AD Connect full-blown package and revert to this lightweight version of AD Connect. But it is feature limited, so it does connect to multiple forests, so you can connect multiple networks together. It doesn't do password write back into Azure, which is a little annoying, so you can't turn password reset on for everyone because it'd just be out of sync. But it is possible. You can use it quite happily. It's not a problem. We wanted the full-blown version, and we were in a position to do that eventually. But to begin with, we were using the AD lightweight AD Connect client.
And that really got you there.
Yeah. 100% it would have got us there. It did get us there. We had to, the North Essex schools, because they had their own AD Connect server, and you're only allowed to have one AD Connect server sync into Office 365. We had to remove the North Essex School's AD Connect server to put that at another secondary school who had on-site Exchange to do their migration. So the North Essex schools were then converted onto the lightweight agent, so they were still able to single sign on and bits and pieces. And then the secondary school with Exchange were able to move their mailboxes quite happily. And then after the WAN went in place, we just reverted all the changes back from the North Essex, put them onto AD Connect, because the AD Connect server can now see every network. But 100% is possible, because we were running that for a few months, because that was the only way we could do it.
Right, and you can mix and match. You can have the big pipeline in,
yeah,
with lots of schools who are on the same WAN coming in. But also, if you've got kind of an outlier, maybe a new school, perhaps they've only just joined the trust,
yeah,
you haven't got the WAN set up for them yet, but they could still have access almost immediately.
Yeah, they can. Yeah, you can install the Azure AD Connect Cloud Sync tool, which is the lightweight version. The names are very similar. So you got Azure AD Connect and you got Azure AD Cloud Sync, and they're like, I was getting confused on which one does what when they begin with. It's like, well, if you could make that a little bit more obvious, which one does what, Microsoft, that'd be great. But, and it's downloaded from the joke of it is the configuration on Azure AD Connect is in the same portal as where the AD Connect server lives. You just have to click the right link and then you can add the agents in, select the OUs and upload, and away you go.
And sometimes they just change the name of things, don't they?
Yeah,
so you're not even sure, is this a new thing or have they just changed the name?
But no, it works really well. And it allowed us to do all these multiple domains. So, without a doubt, we can expand out to another school if we need to quite quickly.
Good. So that's got you to the point. You've got all your schools now connected into the same tenant. They're all able to log in. They've got mailboxes. Everybody can access that. You've got no more of those problems with people having to have two accounts or not knowing what their passwords are, because it's the passwords from their desktop. It's exactly the same. And as you said, you've got that single sign-on going on. So if it's a Windows 10 device, you log on, your OneDrive is there, your OneDrive's connected straight away. No problems with that.
Yep.
Makes a big difference.
Yeah, Teams Outlook, all there for the user when they log in. They haven't got to keep logging into another app.
Oh, that sounds like the future to me. So from an end user's point of view, what's that going to look like? I guess they'll still get their desktop as normal, but do they now come straight through to what? Do they go to Teams? Do they go to a SharePoint site for the intranet? What's the experience for?
So user experience in the schools is user logs in. They open Teams is installed if they need to use Teams, because some of the schools are at different positions within Bridge. Mm-hmm. So we have some of the North Essex schools are quite far down the line with their journey with SharePoint and Teams, because they used it heavily even before lockdown one happened. So when lockdown happened for the North Essex schools, switched over to remote teaching straight away. No problem. Away we go. The Bridge schools had to get stuff set up. The primary schools didn't use Teams at all. They were using their own way of doing remote learning, Zoom and all that kind of stuff. The secondaries, one secondary was using G Suite. She actually mentioned this, actually, apart from with the migration for 12 schools, we actually migrated a G Suite school from Google to Office 365. We did their Google mailboxes, we did their Google Drives, all come over to Office 365. Again, with the Aspira cloud in the background, handling all the workload for that, they handled all of that. Works fine. So going back to a user experience, sort of user logs in, their homepage when they open a web browser is their SharePoint page. So it is their intranet page. I'm trying not to call it an intranet. I'm not sure what to call it. I don't want to call it a VLE, because VLE is such a dirty word. VLE.
We call it an intranet in our product. So that's, that's what it is. It's where you go. It's home.
Yeah.
It's home.
We started calling it in the North Essex Primary School Staff Cloud.
Okay.
So I was conscious of the word of SharePoint, conscious of the word of intranet, and conscious of the word VLE. So we call them Staff Cloud, and actually that's stuck there. So it's quite good. So the user gets their SharePoint page. That's set up as the default web browser page on Google, Chrome, Edge, whatever browser they want to use. That's the first page they see. We've just pushed out the Viva apps for Teams, which you guys created for us. So that's the intranet page within Teams that comes up as a Teams app on the left-hand side.
So you don't need a browser, really. You can just open Teams.
You could work off Teams if you wanted to. It's trying to build a balance between, this is brand new, you should use it this way and what the users are used to using in the first place. So if they're used to using Google Chrome, then you can continue to use Google Chrome. But however, Teams is there if you want to use the interface. And because I know we're still in a COVID situation at the moment, overloading people with new information can be quite tricky at times. So getting it to work and just making simple changes like changing the homepage is an instant winner because they're already on SharePoint at that point. Yeah. And then eventually when they start going down more of a journey with SharePoint, they'd see the stuff in Teams and maybe they'll choose to work through that way. But just to make it work for staff and students at the moment, just changing the homepage is a complete winner.
It's a simple thing, but I know it can cause sort of problems where if you have a school and they might have a beautifully crafted intranet, for example, that we may have built. But to get people to it, you then find people kind of, well, we need to get into this. We get into Office 365 and then I need to find the SharePoint app because somebody told them it was SharePoint. And then they end up having to find the page in there. Whereas if you just use some group policies or whatever you do in Tune or whatever to just send people straight to there, it just makes it easier. Links on the school website as well.
At the moment, where we were at the moment, as from today, we have got all the SharePoint sites built for all the schools. And so we've got one school left to move over to Office 365, and that will happen on December the 1st. All the SharePoint pages are set up. I'm going into each school at the moment, the primaries that is, speaking to the primary head teachers about how Bridge are using SharePoint and how you can use SharePoint in a school. And the way I'm selling it to them is we are changing your homepage in the school to this page here. And this page will contain the links that your staff use the most. So web applications I'm talking about, primary school timetable, Rockstars, My Maths. So when they open their page, the first group of icons they see are those web applications. Yeah. At that point, they're in the SharePoint. So I've won half the battle because they're already using it. And because Bridge have an online finance system, there's links to that in there. There's links to the CPD system that Bridge use. That's on their homepage. I'm just trying to think what else we've got on the home. We've got actual links to the Bridge SharePoint site. So we built a Bridge Academy Trust SharePoint site for all staff. Yep. And that contains finance forms, HR forms, single central record, trust newsletters, trust policies. That's where that is. And that's on this homepage. So when they open their computers, the first page they see is this page. It contains all the links. So I've won half the battle because they're already in SharePoint at that point. They haven't got to go to the web browser and start typing in office365.com. Where's my SharePoint page? And so it's making the navigation easier.
And I guess once you've got those kind, because that's signposting, isn't it? You there's a landing page. It's got some really nice, simple links. They click on the links and off they go. But I guess once they're coming in to do that, they'll start to pick up other things. Like, for example, you might see news items.
Yeah.
Either from that school's level news or being rolled up from, perhaps the math site or the chemistry site. If a teacher's posted a link, they found a new scientist or something. So, but also things pushed down from the trust level.
So the news web part in SharePoint I've set to recommended user because it does exactly what that. It shows you as a user what you're allowed to see. So the Bridge do a termly business update newsletter, and we post that on the Bridge SharePoint site. And then that gets rolled out to all the other sites because of the news web part. So when they log in, they can see the Bridge newsletter or any other information that they might want to see. We might be at a stage soon where all schools' newsletters get posted on Bridge. So all the schools in the trust can see what everyone else is doing. I haven't had that conversation with anyone yet, but the potential's there for it. There's no reason why they can't do that. I post that IT stuff on the Bridge site. So I posted about Office 365 email encryption. So how to use that, and that gets rolled out to the different schools. Yeah. So it is really good.
And I guess you can make another site. So different from the actual trust home. because obviously you need to limit who can edit that and post to that. But you could literally make another news site, just kind of a news, I don't know, news silo kind of place. Yeah. And just any teacher in the trust can post news items into there. And because you've pointed your web part to also monitor that site, they would roll up. So yeah. You're just allowing staff to post news, but not, you know, changing documents or anything yeah. else.
Well, I've been demoing the site, so the staff and the student portal that you create for us. When I show them a student portal, it's like, oh, they can see staff news. And no, it's because I'm logged in and I can see the staff news. And that's what that web part's doing. It's showing you stuff that's relevant to you as a user. And yeah. that's how we're using that part of SharePoint. So we've got a trust central page, which again, if you want the overtime form for Bridge, it's on the Trust SharePoint site. That is the only master copy. This is where you need to get your information from. Trust yeah. policies in there as well. We've just done a single central record, which is an Ofsted requirement.
Yes.
That's on the Trust homepage, but that's heavily permissioned within SharePoint. So only the users that are responsible for their own SCRs in each school can only see their SCRs and maybe the Trust SCR. But again, instead of going through network drives in the school, where's this gone? What file's that? Are we using the right policy file? Is this the most up-to-date SCR? No, it's all on SharePoint. So it's moving everything over to SharePoint, and it's going to work. It will work.
Cool. Would you be able to show us a couple of those things, Mark? Some of the sites you're working at? Either sort of communication out from the trust or collaboration within the trust.
So if we look at this site here, so this is our trust homepage. This is for all staff to access. So as I said before, these are all the tiles for sort of finance, HR, risk assessments. They will know where to. Staff now know that to get to a policy, they need to go to the policy section. To see the trust newsletters, they need to go to the newsletters. The SCRs there, which is again is heavily permissioned, so not everyone can get into it. Only designated users can get to it. So this is our SCR trust portal, sort of built by yourselves, and we're using your mega menu. So the mega menu for us, it only shows people what they're allowed to see and what's relevant to them. Within the trust mega menu, we've got links back to the school's intranet staff pages. And the reason for that is we all know SharePoint's navigation system isn't brilliant. So having that mega menu solves all those issues, because we tell staff, or I've been telling staff, go up to the burger. This is what we called it, the burger and the waffle. And your navigation's here. So if you need to get back to your homepage there, you can click on that and back you go type thing.
Yeah, then every ever one click away.
Yeah. And every staff page has got a link to, has got a tile to this page. So it's all on the homepage. So it's easy navigation for us, and it's all in one central place.
So individual schools, if you're a teacher or a student, because of course there is a student experience to this, if you're a student for a particular school, would the browser default setting take them to their own school's intranet, or they come through here first to come through?
No, so students and staff have group policy settings in place that say this is your homepage and it'd be the staff homepage, this is your homepage, this would be the student homepage. So using group policy allows us to target students at school to say students go to your homepage, staff go to your homepage.
Right. And even the Viva Connections intranet button, you can do that there as well if you're clever about it.
Yeah, we built the apps. I didn't build the apps. You guys built the apps and gave them to us. We've pushed them out using Teams policies. It's whether they use them or not. So obviously, when we were in lockdown and we're in that COVID world, Teams was everyone's interface. You know, everything run off Teams. Now we're back into school mode. you're kind of losing that side of it, because you're not using teams as you used it in lockdown. I mean, if there's a year group out because of COVID, then yeah, they're reverting to remote teaching instantly because everything's set up for them. But you are losing that. I'm frightened that people are going to lose that skill set of teams because they're not using it to use it as their daily teaching tool. But I think some schools are setting homework in teams now. So it's for us, it's different. In every school's different. And what I'm not going to say to the schools is this is how you must do it, because of what works for one school doesn't work for another school.
That's right.
So looking
inside teams, you know, there are different tools. So you've got assignments, and that's one thing you can do. Other schools might use it for live lessons, although probably more, you know, during a lockdown kind of situation.
Yeah.
And you've just got, you know, conversations and chats in the teams. You've got class notebook. There's so much you can do.
Yeah. I mean, from my point of view, how I work, I use Teams all the time. It's my main tool and SharePoint, and that's it. It's all I use. But from a sort of normal standard history teacher who doesn't have that technology in his class, they won't be using Teams for teaching because they're back in a classroom environment.
Yeah.
But
they might still be using the digital resources.
They will be using it, yeah. So the schools we'll all at some point move all their network shared areas to SharePoint. So the North Essex schools are already in that position. We've already done that. And because this is new for the 8 bridge schools we joined, all SharePoint is a new concept to them. So having conversations at the moment with the different head teachers who are all sort of really enthusiastic about this, and explaining why you'd want to remove your network drives, making your data more available, allows staff to work at home easier if they haven't got remote access, which most schools don't. So they can all jump on SharePoint, start sharing documents and within Teams, and it's already there, and it's there when they get into school. So that's helped. But yeah, I'm working with the schools at the moment. It's literally what I'm doing this term, is introducing SharePoint to the head teachers that haven't seen it before and what it can do, showing one of our primary schools that are using it already, because I'm targeting the primary school teachers at the moment, showing them what they use it for and what they could potentially use it for within their school. But again, not saying you have to use this. All I'm saying is we should set your homepage as this page, and we'll put the links to all the resources that you use in the school.
Because primary schools can use it. I know it perhaps intuitively it makes more sense for secondaries, because you think, well, there's lots of stuff going on, and we got 40 different subjects, and we got different groups of people working in different ways. But actually, even in a small primary school context, you know, 400 kids school, you know, you still need a place to put your centralized resources.
You do.
I find especially actually, because you know the way that teachers work in primaries, that you might be teaching reception one year and then suddenly you're teaching year 6 and you're like, oh, where's all the resources? I've only got like primary school resources, reception resources. But if the person that did year 6 last year has kept all those resources and put them in a permanent dedicated area in SharePoint, for example, then you can just go and pick up those. It's like having a lovely file cabinet, you know, that's got all the resources you need in there. So you don't need to do that prep every year.
Yeah. No, it will work for the primary schools in different ways. I'm thinking at the moment, I think every school, but I think some schools may just have the homepage set up and that's it. And they share documents library and they share the calendar on the site, and that'd be it. That'd be all they want to use it for.
Yeah.
But I do think going forward, as and when the head teachers start getting together and they start saying, oh, I'm doing this with SharePoint at my school, and another head teacher will pick up on that and it'll get to another school. And so I do think it will naturally progress. I think it'll start off quite small, but when someone starts doing something on SharePoint and they start sharing it with the groups, I think it will then, can we have this at our school type thing, because we've seen how good it is at this school and what they use it for.
Word of mouth is very powerful, and especially if you have that kind of trust level stuff going on as well, where you know you do have collaboration spaces for head teachers to work in across the trust, so that, that there's a place where they can talk about things together. And one of the things I know that we're working on at the moment, Mark, is, you know, rolled up what we call staff department teams or faculty teams, so you know, all language teachers in one place and they can all talk to each other, all scientists in one place and they can all talk to each other. The more that happens, the more you're going to get that kind of cross-pollination between these schools anyway.
So we've just had this set up by yourselves. So this is using the four secondary schools MIS data to pull together the subjects you can see on screen as teachers in a team. So one of your tech guys has done this for me, but he was kind enough to give me the URLs for their SharePoint sites as well. Because again, not everyone's using Teams as they used to. So my thinking behind this is, oh yeah, they can see the team in the background, but wouldn't it be nice to have like a landing page of all the subjects listed and then the nice pretty icons where you can say, right, the cross collaboration stuff, there's an icon on your SharePoint intranet page, it'll take you to this site, but then you can only access the sites you teach. So that's what we did. I used the URLs that were given to me by your tech support and used your promoted links web part to populate this basic site. And this is all it does. It's just showing you an entrance point into the Team SharePoint site.
Cool.
But it will allow, because you've got people like the CEO, deputy CEO, who don't actually teach a subject, they won't get access to any of these subject sites. However, we can use this root site if they need to put any best work in practice documents together or anything like that. We can use this root site as that point where they can edit and upload these documents for the teachers to read.
So yeah,
we haven't got to that stage yet because we've only literally done this week.
It's a good start.
Yeah, and this is what they were trying to do with their trust homepage before, but because it was a generic logon, it wasn't really working properly. So setting this up like this, it allows users to sign on to SharePoint and Office 365 with their one username and password, and they can get access to everything they need, which is the beauty of having all your schools on one tenant and single sign-on in place, because staff are not having to remember another set of usernames and passwords to log in.
It's a nightmare, and I honestly don't know how teachers and students cope, you know, with these multiple VLEs and connected systems, and they've all got, they might have, maybe if you're lucky, the same username, but the passwords are going to be different. My son with his stuff from school, you know, we've got a whole page's worth of passwords for different things, and it's just too hard.
So I've tried to take the complexity element away from everyone by having your login can get you into all these systems. And again, this sort of talking about connected systems there, you take something like the Adobe Creative Cloud. To log into that, you need to have an Adobe account. But because all the users are on one AD tenant, you can leverage Adobe's single sign-on app within enterprise apps within Azure AD, and they log in with their Office 365 app.
Great. It's as it should be, right?
You take Google G Suite. We've got some primary schools that have got Android tablets and they have Google Chrome devices. We've leveraged the Google G Suite Enterprise app in Azure AD to allow single sign-on with Office 365. So when they open a Chromebook up and they log in, it's not actually showing the Google login anymore. It's showing the Office 365 login. So they log in with Office 365, they're in their Google Chromebook, and then we're using the G Suite's tools to manage those devices, but they're not having to remember another password. It's just it's their Office 365 password. And because all of our important data is going to be in Office 365, we can turn on stuff like multi-factor authentication. We can do some conditional access rules. within Azure AD just to protect us a bit more.
Yeah, but it's a brave new world, isn't it? Where, you know, yes, it's all about Office 365 and lots of services are contained in 365. They're Microsoft services like SharePoint, like Teams. But actually, third parties are starting to wake up to the idea that they need to do single sign-on to big providers like Office 365. Yeah. You're starting to see it with some of the with the VLEs and the MISs as well. They're starting to do the single sign-on thing. So this is definitely the direction of travel.
Yeah,
is get yourself one good username and password and just use it everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's working. It's working. It's going to work really well.
Beautiful. So
at the moment, this is the secondary side of things. We're in discussions, or I will be in discussions with the primary director of education to see what the primary schools, teachers, and how they want to work. I get a feeling it's going to be year group based. So we'll create year teams for each years that are being taught across all the primary and infant schools. So there'll be EYFS, year one, year two, year three, five, six, and we'll pull all those teachers together. All the head teachers are already pulled together in a team. All the secondary heads are already pulled into a team. All the head teachers as an overall head teachers, there's a team for them. We've also done a lot of work with our governors and trustees. We've created a brand new governor's portal on SharePoint. So each school's got its own governor's team, and the clerk can dip in and out of those teams, updating minutes and agendas, but the clerks can only see their team they're a part of. And that's all driven through Teams. Everything's being done through Teams for us at the moment. We have the odd communication site in SharePoint, which is what this is, but most of it is team sites now.
Yep. And that makes sense, because people do live in Teams these days. Yeah. Yeah, so that's good.
It is really good, and we're on the start of the journey with quite a few of the bridge schools, but we will get there, and they're all enthusiastic about it.
So to get people using these things, obviously user adoption doesn't just happen. It has to be something you promote and encourage and facilitate. What are your plans in terms of training and CPD?
So to begin with, setting the homepage for everyone as their intranet site is, you're part of the way there.
Yep.
Because they're not fumbling around trying to access Office 365. It's there for them straight away. Also, because of the way Bridge work and their central team work, if you need a HR file, additional hours file, it's on SharePoint. You have to go in and get it from SharePoint. If there's a new supplier you want to order from, you have to get the finance form from SharePoint. That is where they are stored. I have put together an Office 365 training site. So all this literally here is it's a combination of the videos that you do at Cloud Design Box and links to Microsoft courses. Because one thing Microsoft have done is they have spent a lot of time and money, I suspect, on producing really good training courses for their different products. And I'm not reinventing the wheel. I'm not going to be sitting there in the afternoons creating my own training resources for Office 365. There is literally no point. But what is good is I've put the links in here that are more relevant to the teachers instead of them going off on their own trying to find training on the specific bits and pieces.
The Microsoft, the innovative educator courses in the Education Center, they're so good. They're so good. They're simple, they're quick. You know, you go in, you read a bit, watch a video, answer some questions, and you get a badge, which is always nice. But there are so many of them, there's multiple ones for Teams, for OneNote and Class Notebook.
Yeah.
There's half a dozen for, Minecraft Education, which is great. But as you say, there's so many, perhaps teachers don't know which ones.
Yeah, it's information overload for staff. But I will be, as I get SharePoint sorted out in each school, I will be going into each school, speaking to the staff, giving them a brief demo of what their SharePoint portal looks like. This is what it can do. These are the differences between OneDrive and SharePoint. And then tell them what the plan is going forward. We're going to move your network areas up to SharePoint. And then I'll answer any questions. And then just be available for those that need it. For the secondaries, because one of the schools was quite far into their journey with Office 365 and Teams, when we went into lockdown one, they were done, in place, ready to go. They were rocking. The other secondary wasn't quite there. I used Teams live events for that school, and I did a webinar on their SharePoint site remotely, demoed it out, demoed the teaching and learning side of the Teams that you set up and the mega menu and the subject sites that have been put in place and what the different libraries are for and what they do and how you can use them. And I did that a few times. I did sort of three or four of them for those that couldn't make it that day because of whatever was going on. And I'll probably be doing the same for the other secondaries that we haven't launched this in yet. Just because you can't hit a secondary school staff in one hit, because they've all got different commitments. But having kind of drop-in sessions, whether I'm in the school for the day, sort of sitting in an IT room, talking to people as they come in, or doing a live web event using Microsoft Teams, works really well. The live events for that, it's good for me because I don't like speaking in front of a large group of people, like in an auditorium type thing. I just go to pieces. So me sitting at home in my bedroom behind the webcam, not seeing anyone's face, is great.
It's lovely. And, you know, as you say, you throw out, it's a bit like fishing, you throw out the live webinars. Some people might watch them, some might not. You can record them, of course, so some people catch up later. Which is nice. Also, with things now that, you know, you get transcripts for the recordings and things like that, you could kind of, you know, you can tell people, oh, well, if you want to know about this bit, then it's 5 minutes in. This bit, I talk about that 10 minutes in. So you can be quite specific.
No, it does work. It does work really well. And of course, after that event, they were like, the particular school I was doing that in, I was getting messages from sort of senior leadership team. It's like, oh, can we have a place to store all our exams and data information, or can we have house site setups for each school so we can do assemblies to just that year group? Or you know, they really sort of, at that point when they were shown what it can do, it's like, oh yeah, can we have this set up, can we have that set up? And now it's being really used really well. And the cross collaboration side of that will only ever drive that forward again. So when the other two secondaries get their SharePoint system launched, I think one's actually being launched Monday, that it will be their homepage with the links on, which when I've demoed that out to a couple of members of staff in the school this week, they're like, oh, that's fantastic. That's brilliant. That's exactly what we want, because we get people come to us all the time. How do you log onto the finance system? How do you log onto the National College for CPD? It's just all there for them. But that will then drive, because they were starting to say, oh yeah, actually having a like exams and data area for all the exam time, so it's actually quite a good idea, can we have that set up? And I was like, well, let's get this put in place first and then come up with your list of ideas, and then we can talk about it and how we can put them in, because what you don't want to do is sort of put something like this in and then they go, oh, we want a place for this, and you set up those places and they're never used. Because they've just thought, oh, that's a good idea to have something there, but actually they're not going to use it yet. So you might as well set those things up once they ask for it, because then there's a general purpose instead of, oh, we just do what that school's doing. Because it might not work.
You don't want stuff to sit empty, because people then they think, oh, this thing's, you know, it's not used, it's decrepit because there's no content in there.
Yeah.
So don't create those empty structures unless you're ready to.
Yeah,
put some stuff in there, get some news items in there, that kind of thing.
Awesome. I can show you a primary school site that we've put together.
Yes, please.
So this is sort of an outline for a primary school site at the moment. This is an empty one because they're going to be. I'm going into school in December to speak to their staff about how we can use this. And again, same idea. Links to different bits and pieces, primaries are slightly different with this particular one. They don't really didn't really want the year group areas set up. They just want an area for staff shared documents, and then there's going to be a couple of others that are going to be permissioned off for leadership and safeguarding and bits and pieces like that. But
yeah,
again, it's all using your mega menu, so all the mega menus are customized in their school colors for each school, which is quite nice, because again, SharePoint out of box is not the prettiest looking thing. And if especially with a group of schools together, it's quite important that each school gets their own identity.
Yeah.
And that keeps that would keep people quite happy if, you know, that's our colour, that's our icon, we're using our system as opposed to this is the trust system and bits and pieces. So yeah, all the primary sites will look very similar to this. They're going to start using your staff briefing web part. And again, the news is tailored to me as a user, so I'm getting all the information from the other sites.
Yeah. And yeah, I guess the news, that's the other thing that makes this personal to the school, because you can literally have, you know,
yeah,
news articles about something that's happening in that school, or get something off their website or Twitter and just post it in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, very good. And it's interesting, you know, this is what that school wants.
Yeah.
So they've not currently bought into the whole kind of dedicated permanent areas for each year group. But that's fine, because this is what they need right now, and this is the way they see that working. It may be they move towards that over time as they start to kind of see what other schools are doing, and they understand the need for permanent structures. Yeah. Or they might just keep going like that forever. Yeah. And, you know, as long as they're benefiting from it, then that's all good.
If I can get them logged into SharePoint, and they've got a collection of icons that they can access on a daily basis, and and if there's some shared documents that they're putting in on the homepage for general staff, then I'll class that as a win to begin with, because they're in using the system at that point.
It's a step up from having a T drive just on the network, and it can only be accessed from the network. So it's just opened things up. We know things like search, for example. Search in SharePoint is so powerful. You can find things really quickly in a way that you just can't on Windows.
Yeah. No, 100%. It's going to work really well. And sort of what I alluded to at the beginning with our central team, they completely all work off SharePoint now. They have done since they put their office platform in. That is the way they worked, is that everything's done off SharePoint, and still is. So every area has got its own sort of SharePoint tile, HR, finance, compliance and governance. So they've all been using SharePoint for quite a while. They're using it as document storage at the moment, but they're using SharePoint. And now what's happening now is I'm working with sort of each director, trying to take that to the next stage of what they want it to do. So for example, our finance director, where they stick in invoices that come in from the accounts mailbox to be paid, we're looking at doing some stuff with Power Automate to say, when this tick box is ticked for this document, send an email to the budget holder to say they've got it. And we're trying to automate some of this process up for finance to make them a bit more slicker.
Yeah,
getting their processes working quite well, and then we'll be talking to the HR director about how they want their area structured out. So I'm sure that'll change for them as well.
So you might do something with onboarding, for example, if a new member of staff joins, there's kind of a process that gets worked through, and
potentially
emails go out and different stages.
Yeah, it's potential. I'll have to learn quite a lot of Power Automate, but. there is that potential of having it all on SharePoint now. That has all the workflows you can put together, and it can do all this stuff for you.
Yeah, and what's good about Power Automate now is that it's not just SharePoint. You might find SharePoint's kind of the pivot, because that's where the list is that maybe keeps the information or the documents get there. But you can also do things in Teams. You can send alerts to Teams. You can post into channels in Teams. You can send emails out. So it's actually the whole Microsoft 365 ecosystem. But yeah, very often it's SharePoint at the middle of that.
Yeah, no, it is very good. We've got together already. With our policies, for example, when the policy hits a certain time based on the review due date, it will then start firing off emails and colouring cells in to say, right, this one's due for review, this one's fine, so it might be green, this one's red, it needs to be reviewed. And it gets sent off to the policy holder and CCs in the clerk of governors to say, look, this policy needs looking at because it's due for review. So yeah, there's quite a lot we can do and we will be doing with SharePoint and Office 365.
Awesome. Very good.
It's very good.
Well, thanks, Mark, for taking the time to talk to me today. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, likewise.
I do feel every time we talk, I always feel I want to go into a bit more detail about a particular thing. So perhaps at some point in the future, we can do a deep dive into some of these things and look in a bit more detail.
Yeah, no problems.